I'm Bill Littlefield, coming up on Only a Game, a sports rivalry involving 3,000 players and a field that's 3 miles long. But first, I'm joined by Charlie Pierce for our look at the week's news. Hello, Charlie.
That's got to be hard to follow.
Oh, man, stay tuned. That's all I can say. The NFL draft began on Thursday night, and my understanding is that offensive tackles were very popular. I don't have any idea what the significance of that is, but I'm sure you can tell me.
The offensive tackles are very popular because they keep your very expensive quarterbacks from getting killed faster than is normal by NFL standards. Yeah, Eric Fisher and Luke Jekyll, who I've actually seen play at Texas A&M, went 1 and 2. Fisher's only the fourth offensive lineman to be picked with the first overall pick in the draft, and he says he's pumped to be a Chief, and good for him.
Many pundits predicted that the Buffalo Bills would take the first quarterback of this draft, but the choice of Florida State's E.J. Manuel at number 16 has been described as maybe the most surprising development of the first round. Have they got that right?
Yeah, the draft nicks do not think very much of this pick. There wasn't a lot. It was not a quarterback-rich draft, and the Bills were desperate, and they're taking a flyer. I don't have a problem with that.
The NHL regular season ends on Sunday with a rescheduled game between the Boston Bruins and the Ottawa Senators. Gee, it feels like just yesterday the season began.
It was just yesterday the season
That's why
began,
it feels
actually.
That way. Lockout will do that to you.
Yep.
On Thursday night, Jared Stahl joined the Carolina Hurricanes. Stahl's debut marked the third time four brothers have played in the NHL and the fourth time three brothers have played on the same NHL team. Wait, what?
Yeah, that's the NHL is very good at keeping records like this. Of course, the all-time champions are the Sutters, who there were six of them, all of them from Viking Alberta, and they played almost for 30 years for one time or another.
Meanwhile, the NBA postseason is shaping up. Remember the good old days, Charlie, like 2008 and 2010, when everybody would patiently wait for the Boston Celtics to advance in the East and the LA Lakers to advance in the West, hoping those two superpowers would face each other in the finals?
Yeah, well, the West is a real jumble. And in the East, the Knicks are playing probably the most impressive basketball, given what was expected of them from anybody.
Rutgers has a new men's basketball coach. He's Eddie Jordan, who had been an assistant coach with the Lakers, and Rutgers is going to pay him more than $1 million a year as long as he doesn't throw any basketballs at his players, right?
Yes, I believe that almost anything would be an improvement at Rutgers as long as Eddie Jordan doesn't get caught on camera acting like a sociopath. He's way ahead of the game as far as Rutgers basketball is concerned.
College basketball coaches have been known to break promises. This will shock you, I'm quite sure. But Louisville head coach Rick Pitino followed up on a promise to his players this week. What did he do?
He had himself tattooed on his left shoulder blade with a pretty good-sized tattoo, actually. He didn't chicken out. It's a fairly good-sized tattoo that says 2013, and then there's a big red L, and it says NCAA champions 35-5. So good for him.
The Boston Red Sox are having a surprisingly good spring. Pitcher Alfredo Aceves, not so much. On Tuesday, he allowed 8 runs to the Athletics in 3 2/3 innings. He failed to cover first base on a ground ball to the right side. And after the Red Sox had lost the game 13-0, he said, "Why didn't we hit?" He must be a popular guy in the clubhouse.
Yeah, I suspect his career in Boston is probably at an end at this point. Alfredo Aceves is more trouble than he's worth.
ESPN tells me that there is, quote, no reason to worry about the Washington Nationals. I'm not sure why I would have been worried about the Washington Nationals. Help me out on this.
Well, they're only at 500 now, and they were picked by almost everybody to win the World Series, but it is still only April.
This week, the Bowl Championship Series conference commissioners announced that the new system of crowning a college football champion would have a new name, and they had quite a while to think about it. So what did they come up with?
The College Football Playoff.
Wow, that has a ring to it, doesn't it?
There's something to be said for generics. Perhaps it's cheaper.
We also learned where the very first playoff championship will occur. Were you surprised that the Palace in Dallas got the nod?
No, because it looks like everything is going to be there. Next year's Final Four is going to be there. This is a stadium, by the way, that's too big for football, let alone basketball. But Jerry Jones's monument to overcompensation north of Dallas is going to get the championship game, too.
I really hope that didn't go by too fast for people to get it. The deputy sports minister in Brazil, where preparations are underway for the 2014 World Cup, expressed his grave concerns about the event this week. What's on his mind?
Well, this is something I've never heard before, but apparently they're worried about what they're calling the gentrification of stadiums, which means basically that the rich people will start to run the stadiums and the crazy people will stay away, which cannot be good for Brazilian soccer. But I've never heard the phrase gentrification of stadiums before. It's terrific.
In other soccer news, Liverpool striker Luis Suarez was banned for 10 matches this week. Remind me of what he did to incur that penalty.
He bit a guy on Chelsea named Branislav Ivanovic on the upper right arm, and he wasn't sent off because the referee didn't see the bite, which was reviewed later, and I don't even want to know how they do that. The problem, of course, is that Senor Suarez is kind of a recidivist in this regard, because in 2010 he bit the collarbone of a player in the Dutch league and lost 7 games and became known as the Cannibal of Ajax.
Yeah, but didn't Mike Tyson do it twice, too?
Well, he did it twice to the same guy in the same fight. Okay, it's not the same thing.
Finally, Charlie, we've all heard of fair-weather fans who jump on the bandwagon, so to speak. But a story came in this week concerning minor league hockey's Springfield Falcons, which led the Only a Game staff to wonder exactly what a bandwagon looks like. Can you explain?
They actually made one. They had a bandwagon, a covered wagon, with a little guy in a Falcon suit in the driver's seat, and it's being towed by a Hyundai up and down One Financial Plaza in downtown Springfield. And so you can get on and ride the bandwagon for a couple of blocks.
See, now, I always thought a bandwagon was like a float in a parade that had a band
That's
on
exactly,
it.
That's exactly, that was my point. This thing looks like the thing that comes out before Oklahoma football games.
With the, or the dog food commercial with the chuck wagon.
Yeah, I don't remember that one, but that's okay, Bill. Dog food?
You can find the sports writing of Charlie Pierce at Grantland, among other places. And, of course, he joins me each week right here on Only a Game as well. Thanks, Charlie.
I mean, I remember Meow Mix. Meow, 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 meow. I don't remember the chuck wagon, though. Not me. There's lots of room for